Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've had a good week this week. It's certainly been a full week in a lot of ways. We're very grateful for Clay recovering really pretty quickly after all he's been through. For those of you who had not heard, he had a rider truck do a U-turn just right in front of him at the last minute while he was driving 70 miles an hour, and he just had enough time to hit the air brakes and scoot over from out behind the steering wheel and avoid an even more serious accident. But it did cause a pretty good head injury for him, and so he'll have a scar from that. Mentioned last week, Tim and Bo both came in with different marks on either side of their head, and I was thinking that they had done pretty good. No, it wasn't Tim. It was Mike, and I didn't know if they'd been in a fight or what, but apparently there's a competition going on right now. So let's declare Clay the victor and just cut this competition off, because it has been a full week, but we're very grateful for that. We do want to continue to keep those that were involved with the other truck also in our prayers, though, as they go through that. I was looking over a lesson on simpler times, and as I was looking over it, I went through the building and I couldn't get the heat on this side. And the reason I couldn't get the heat on this side is it's no longer an electric thermostat. It's a battery/electric thermostat, and the battery was out on it. And so I went over to the fellowship hall and took the batteries from that one and brought them here, and they had different size batteries in them. And so fortunately, I've run a remote control before, and so I knew to open it up and kind of scoot them around a little bit and close it. And we got heat on this side later on, but it just was a lot simpler when you just kind of walked over and set the thermostat and walked away. I was thinking also about growing up in a Christian household and what it meant. I had just some really fine years because of that, and because of God's tremendous blessings that flowed from that. I can remember when we lived in Houston. I guess I was about 11 or 12 years old, and it was as close to paradise as you could get for an 11 or 12-year-old, because we lived about two or three blocks away from a creek that had turtles and frogs and fish in it. And so I got me a little plastic swimming pool, and I transferred some of those turtles and frogs and fish to that. And I can remember riding bikes with my friends and just kind of going everywhere. As a matter of fact, it was an era where as long as you told your mom where you were going that day, and as long as you were back by lunch, you could just get on your bike and ride. And again, we lived just outside of Houston. And while there are certainly mean people back then, it wasn't quite the same time as it is now. It was a simpler time. And there's a lot of joy because of that. In Psalms 144, in verse 15, it says, "Happy the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy the people whose God is the Lord." As we start talking about simplifying our life in simpler times, this, I really believe, is one of the foundational truths that we need to turn to, and that is that the people who belong to the Lord are happy. It doesn't mean difficult things won't happen to us in our life. And it doesn't even mean that we won't suffer the consequences of sin, either ours from earlier years or others as well. We'll certainly suffer. We'll have the vagaries of life and the things that are just part of life as we grow older and our health starts to wane, and as does that of our loved ones. So just because we say simpler does not mean it will always be easy. But from a simple standpoint, if you're a servant of God, your life is going to be better. Just think about the hard times, maybe the hardest time you've ever gone through. Would you have liked to have gone through that time without God? Maybe you did, and you can attest to the fact that it was very difficult. But it's the truth that is simple. It is true that those people who belong to God are going to be happy. And so if you're not happy, maybe you should reassess where you are right now. I'm not saying giddy all the time. I'm just saying if the joy seems to have gone from our life, and we talked about that for a few weeks, so I'm not going to go back to that point, but there is going to be a happiness because we belong to the Lord. I mentioned that my parents were Christians. They weren't just Christians. They were, by name, they actually lived a Christian life. And because of that, I really took a lot of blessings from that. I really don't remember a time where it wasn't expected that on Sunday morning we would go to Sunday school and to worship. And I don't remember a time where on Sunday night it wasn't expected that we would worship on Sunday night. I don't remember a time where we weren't worshiping in midweek services. I don't remember a time where my mom didn't read us a Bible story at night before we went to bed when we were young, or that didn't say our prayers before we went to bed. I don't remember a time where we didn't have a prayer before every meal. We really had a benefit from that. And while these are not things that you just do so somehow you can earn blessings, the closer we are to God and the more that we try to serve Him, I believe the better life becomes, and especially for the kids of those who are righteous. There is just a blessing from that. And Proverbs chapter 14, 26 addresses that. It says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." Think about that for a moment. Why do you build a fortress? It's because somebody wants to get at you. Isn't that true? You want to protect something you have, whether it's your family or your loved ones or the stuff you have or a combination of all that. But when it says that he who has the Lord has a secure fortress, does that not imply that there will be times that there will be outside forces, whether physical or spiritual, that will be attacking us? But he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. I don't remember growing up worrying about food, about having enough to eat or having enough to wear. I know my parents were concerned about these things, but I wasn't because I trusted them. Do you trust God? Because if you trust God, this simple action is going to be something that will give you a refuge. And too many people bypass that. Or sometimes we will turn our troubles over to God in prayer, and then we'll take them right back as soon as we're through with prayer, as soon as we're tested. But this simple truth, those who fear the Lord have a secure refuge, is one of the most important truths in life. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14 is one that probably many of you have memorized, but I love this passage. It concerns Joshua. Joshua started off as an assistant to Moses. He was an assistant to Moses right after he was one of the spies, or at least during that time. He might have started being assistant to Moses actually before that time. But he was one of the 12 spies that went into Canaan, and only two of them came back and gave a favorable report. The other 10 didn't, and it turned the whole nation against doing what God wanted him to do. But Joshua was faithful. Even though he knew that going into Canaan and he saw how strong they were, he knew that God could deliver. He had that simple truth in mind that God's already taken care of us. He'll continue to take care of us. When Moses died, it was Joshua who led them into the promised land. And for somewhere between 5 and 7 years, they fought and took over the promised land. There was a lot that Joshua had to go through in life. And towards the conclusion of his life, he says this, Joshua 24, verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Mark that down in your mind. Choose today who you're going to serve. Too many people don't, or they choose by default. Choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was blessed all of his life. He had refuge with God all of his life. He went through some very difficult times. He spent those 40 years wandering in the wilderness with just manna to eat and an occasional quail. He spent that time with them. He had to go through war in the land of Canaan. Before that, he was a slave in the land of Egypt. And yet Joshua understood that if you serve God, your life is going to be well. And he chose to serve God, not only for him, but for his entire household. Now, obviously, as his household got older and went out on their own, they got to make their own choices. But he chose, as the head of his household, that they would serve the Lord, and serve the Lord they did. So how about you? Most of y'all here are heads of the household. Whether you're a parent, whether you're in a single household, whatever it is, most of y'all are. Have you made that commitment to God? Or is it just something that you kind of go through life haphazardly? Some days I'm with God, some days I'm just not even thinking about Him much. It's something that demands a choice, and because Joshua chose, he had a good life. It's a simple truth, but it requires a lot. Joshua went through a lot, and yet he was blessed because of that. I found out a number of years ago that there is something very simple that you can do, a simple formula in life that will really give you a great life. Now, it may be a little different for you. Philippians tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not our own plan of salvation, but once we're saved, you continue to work out how you're going to serve God and how you're going to live before Him. You're not going to determine whether lying's right or not, or whether adultery's right or not, or whether forsaking the assembly is an option. But by working out your own salvation, he's talking about the fact that in those areas that God hasn't spoke on, where you'll live, who you'll marry, what you're going to do for a living, all, of course, within the guidelines of and the framework of God's commands, but you get to choose an awful lot. And so I found out a number of years ago that by doing some very simple things, waking up in the morning and praying and asking God, after I thanked Him for another day, but asking Him for help, really did help. I found that just reading a little bit in the Bible before I started into my day really helped get my mind focused on something that was critical. As a matter of fact, on the most important. I go about my life after that, but I took God with me. I sometimes really fail at that. I was kind of aggravated the other day. I was up on a roof. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm shingling a roof right now. And it has been the joy of many people within the community. Scott, the city manager, came up to me the other day. He said, "I saw you up on the roof the other night." He said, "I thought about just bringing the ambulance over and parking it for when you needed it." And Yancey the other day was sitting across the street at a family reunion they were having. Probably would have enjoyed being with me up on the roof, but he was at a family reunion. And they were sitting in the backyard, and he told his girls to scoot their chairs out of the way so he could keep an eye on me. So when I rolled off the roof, they could get help sooner. So anyway, been going through all that. But I was up on the roof, and I had one of those hammer staple guns. And if you don't know what that is, it means nothing to you. But I hammered it, and the back part of it flew off. And I could not find it. I walked all over that roof. I walked all over the yard. I could not find it. And so I go home. "How's it going?" Carolyn says, "Oh, I lost it." So I had to go to town. "Can I do it?" "No, you may not know what you're doing." And I got to driving out of town and grumbling like that and thinking, what do I think I'm doing? Either I'm a servant of God or I'm not. Either we'll serve God and be pleasant in good times and in bad, or are we really servants? We'll all have bad days. We'll all have bad times. Jesus still had to die on the cross for all of our sins, did he not? But if our day is controlled by our events, if our attitude is controlled by our events, by what happens on the outside, then we're missing one of the greatest and the most simple truths of Christianity. There's a peace that comes from within. There's a peace that passes all understanding. God has the writers write about it extensively within the Word. And so if you and I will start off our day by going to God and acknowledging that it is His day, thanking Him for what we've got, and again, reading some of His Word throughout the day. I'd recommend that you don't let a year go by without reading the entire Bible. I know that'll take a good 15 minutes a day. Do it during the commercials if you feel like you don't have time. But you can do it. You can become a student of God's Word with a half an hour a day. And it's important because we live this life so that we can go on to the next part. Then you do what you can according to His Word, and then you trust Him for the rest. Isn't that simple? You pray throughout the day. You read sometime during the day. You take God with you through the day. You do what you can, and then you trust Him to do the rest. And again, simple does not mean easy all the time. But simple does mean that it's easy for us to understand, and it leads to a really, really good life. Are you enjoying a really, really good life? And if not, what's preventing you from doing that? Psalms chapter 16, verse 5, this is a psalm of David. David said, "Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. You've made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." Think about David. David became a warrior at a very young age. He was in life and death battles continually, hand-to-hand battles, continually in his service to King Saul. After a while, Saul noticed he was doing so good that he was making an impression on the rest of Israel, and Saul got jealous, so Saul decided he would kill David. And so David fled and was on the run for years. After he got back and finally the kingship was established under him, one of his sons rebelled against him, came after him with an army, and his son died in that battle. And yet, David says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Why would he say that? It's because David was spiritually minded. But he also had enough intelligence and enough presence of mind to enjoy the physical things in life. There are good physical things in life, and it's right for you to enjoy them. I think it's really good to enjoy a good ice cream or popsicle or a good television show. I think it's fun to play a game or to go watch a sporting event, as long as we don't get carried away with these things. I think life can be very fine and very enjoyable. I think for us, the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. But we have to keep our perspective correct, or we won't think that. And then he said this, "Surely I have a delightful inheritance." And that was the key, wasn't it? He knew that he was going to heaven if he remained faithful. He knew he didn't deserve to go to heaven. There wasn't any question about that. There's not a question that you and I don't deserve to go to heaven. But don't we have a delightful inheritance if we'll serve God well now, leaving the past behind? The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. We're not sure exactly what he's referring to, but I think maybe it has reference to this. When they went into the Promised Land years before David was born, and they got into Canaan, they surveyed the land of Canaan. And then by lot, they gave, in other words, by chance, that however they did that lot, flipping coins or drawing numbers, I don't know how they did it, but they surveyed it, and then they gave each family an inheritance. Can you imagine what that would have been like to have been a slave in Egypt as a child, to go through 40 years in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden you go to a land that is just green and filled with trees and beautiful, and all of a sudden your lot comes up and it's announced to you what you got. Maybe you're on along a brook, or maybe you're on the Sea of Galilee, or up in the mountains outside of Jerusalem. Or you're in a green, green valley. Can you imagine what that would have been like to all of a sudden, this is yours. This is your inheritance. And how that would have made you feel. And then that inheritance was passed down through the years. I think maybe this is what David's talking about, or something similar to it, surely. But when he says the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, haven't they for us? You know, there's a lot of places we could have been born, but we weren't. There's a lot of parents we could have been raised by, but we weren't. We could have grown up in poverty, maybe never even to see adulthood. But God has given us a pleasant lot. The question is, what will we do with that lot? I think sometimes we just need to reduce things to the basic. And that's what I want. That's what I'm kind of talking about, simplicity, not talking about a life of ease and leisure, but a basic life that takes care of first things first. And that means God and Christ are first. And then that means that we try and help others around us that are in our circle of influence. And hopefully we try and broaden that circle of influence as we have opportunity so that we can influence them to Christ. And then we can truly say that the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places, because they have. And we do have a delightful inheritance. This is a simple, basic truth. But these are the types of things that will require a lot of planning in our life to go through. I want to read one last passage and we'll close. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, starting in verse 4. Paul from prison writes this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice." You see that joy doesn't depend on where you are, does it? "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." This is a key. If we can remember God is near, our day is going to go well. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's the fortress, I believe, that we looked at earlier. God guards our hearts and minds when our perspective is correct. And then he says this, "For those of us who get all wrought up with all the difficult things that are going on in life and all the challenges that we have to go through and frankly that we have to face as adults and as children sometimes," Paul, writing from prison, still says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." These just have a calming effect on you when you start thinking. Just to read it does. And then he says, "Whatever you have learned or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." In other words, after you've thought about it, live the Christian life, "and the God of peace will be with you." We're not always called to a bed of roses in life, but we are called to a good life. And we are called, I believe, to be appreciative and thankful because the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. And if we can keep God first and remember the simple basics of the Christian life, I believe our life is going to be filled with joy. And I believe that type of a life is going to be attractive to others so that we can actually do our role of seeking and saving the lost, beginning with the example that we have. The question is, are you living the simple life? If you're ready to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you need anything, won't you come and let us know while we stand and sing.